الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome to our beautiful silsila, beautiful program. Very beautiful and new topic today we're going to be discussing. And also, inshallah azawajal, we have Shoaib bhai in the studio today, alhamdulillah. And we also have, mashallah azawajal, our Nigran sahab, Waseem bhai, mashallah azawajal, in the studio today. Haroon bhai will be here, inshallah, within a few minutes as well. Jazakallah khairah, my dear Islam brothers. Today, you're going to have a very unique topic that we've chosen today, inshallah azawajal. And we're going to be discussing, and it's such an important topic that we need to understand that this topic is for everyone. Before we do anything, let's recite the beautiful, glorious Quran and listen to the recitation. Remember, whenever we listen to the recitation of the Quran, we listen to it very, very carefully and attentively, inshallah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahu yabsutu rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqdir. وَفَرِحُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مَتَاعٌ وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب صدق الله العظيم
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله
تیرے قدموں میں جو ہے
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله.
Very beautiful kalam, written by Allah Imam Ahl Sunnat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Allah Rahmat Rahman Inshallah. پڑھنے کی سعادت حاصل کرتا ہوں.
سنتے ہیں کہ محشر میں سنتے ہیں کہ محشر میں صرف ان کی رسائی ہے سنتے ہیں کہ
کرم تجھ میں humne to kamai sab
Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, you're watching our program, and the topic we're going to be talking about today is such an important topic that, you know, many people also complain that, you know, whenever they do the ibadah, they read the Quran, they do anything good, they don't feel anything, you know, khushu wa khuzu, that humbleness, that sincerity, they don't feel it. There's a very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, and this is where I want to start off today's program. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, someone asked him about spirituality and about their maqam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, if someone wants to know what position he has in the court of Allah azza wa jal, then he has to only look at what place he gives to Allah azza wa jal in his heart. Yani, what place have you given Allah azza wa jal in your heart? Is your heart full of the love of Allah Azza wa Jal? Is your heart full of the love of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? If he isn't, then how are we going to achieve this status or this maqam of spirituality? Then we'll always be complaining that we read our salah. And many people I meet, and many people the panel will hear also agree with me, that one of the biggest complaints that we have is, I don't feel anything. I read the Quran, I can't feel anything. Halatke, the Quran is such a word that Surah Al-Takathur, very famous surah in the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once had the Sahaba-i-Kiram, and he said to the Sahaba-i-Kiram, I will recite Surah Al-Takathur. Whoever cries in the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, Jannat will become necessary for that person. And some of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, we're not saying that the Sahaba-i-Kiram did not have that spirituality, but the Sahaba Ikram, some of them said that, Ya Rasulullah, we couldn't cry. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if you cannot cry, then make your face expression as such that you were crying. Now, this is a common problem we have. Many viewers who are watching today, you know, you're going to agree with me that, you know, maybe it's yourself or ourselves. Why does this happen? Buzurg Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali mentioned a very beautiful thing. He goes, number one is that you need to always think that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching over you. And no doubt Allah Ta'ala is watching over you. Number two is that you know that Allah Ta'ala is watching you. Now make sure that you do not commit any sins and stay on the straight path. You know, this Buzurg Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, very beautiful, he hit the nail on the head, that always when a person thinks that Allah Ta'ala is watching me, he will not commit any sins. Today's spirituality is not there because maybe of our sins. Ji Harun Bhai, let's start with yourself.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mashallah, I've said very beautiful topic. And it's one which, in today's day and age, we really need to think about.
Allahu Akbar.
The world is becoming very materialistic. We even those who pray their salah, you know, it just passes over the top. Let me start with a very nice narration that I read or heard. And there was a person who came to a sheikh and he said, you know, I haven't got that ruhaniyat in me. And the great sheikh said, to gain that, if you're not going to treat Allah Azza wa Jal better than yourself, at least treat him equal to yourself. And he said, hang on a minute. What are you saying? Allah Azza wa Jal is Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, okay. He said, stay with me. So that night he stayed with him and they presented him some food in his room. And he stayed the next day. And some of the food was left over. They didn't take it away. And the next day they presented him with another meal. And when he sat down to eat his meal, a beggar came to the door. And he said, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, give me something. And there was this fresh food in front of him. Everything's there. Everything beautifully made. And what he did is he got up, and you know the food from the night before?
Mm-hmm.
He went and took that. And he said, here, you can have this. When he went to the sheikh said that if you had treated Allah Azza wa Jal at least equal to yourself, you would have shared that food. But in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, you were donating, and you were donating that which was left over.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you have to do. This is the essence of ruhaniyat. What it is in essence, is God consciousness. What we do is we proclaim it. We say we're God conscious.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality and in truth, we're not. What happens is our God consciousness happens very occasionally, Hafsah. And when does it happen? You know, when you're sat in a mehfil, you're listening to a Nat-e Pak, or sometimes when you're reading Salah, you know that moment you get where the heart's connected and you feel like crying, and you feel the fear and awe of Allah Azza wa Jal. Just those few moments. Now the walis of Allah Azza wa Jal, they work very hard on those moments. And there are so many in their life that they string them together. You know, like you have a ball of with the fire on. And you know when you turn it, swing it around in a circle, it seems like there's a circle of fire, doesn't it? But it isn't.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is a similar way. They connect all these ruhaniyas, and these things keep happening to them again and again. Why?
So ruhaniya spirituality is connected to the heart.
It's connected to the heart. Now, let me kind of move on to the real essence of it. It's the connection of your heart with Allah Azza wa Jal and you remaining God conscious.
In terms of, if I can just quickly on that point of God consciousness, what Harumba is making, in terms of being aware that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching me. And, you know, a good kind of way of illustrating that point, or for us to perhaps bring it to our day-to-day life is, you know, when we're driving along sometimes on the motorway or on a road or whatever, we all know it's 70 miles per hour speed limit. But you often find when you're on the motorway, especially in the third lane, where Hafiz Sahib likes to drive sometimes, you know, you're often doing 80, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know it's 70 miles per hour, but people are routinely driving 80, 85, maybe a bit faster. And what will often bring that speed down to 70, you'll notice all of a sudden everybody's gone down to 70. If you look in your rearview mirror, it's probably because there's a police car just behind, or there's a police car just further up, or there's a camera further up. So we know what the law is. What's enforcing the law is awareness that the law enforcement are there.
Gee.
And, you know, not kind of with any sort of comparison, but we know the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, but when we have that realization within ourselves that Allah is watching me, no matter where I am or what I'm doing, then that in itself will bring that spirituality, no matter what situation.
And another thing is, you know, the urge as well. You know, like the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mafhum was that, you know, you need to look at yourself and what maqam you give Allah Ta'ala. There's this certain sheikh and he had a murid, and one day the murid went to his peer sahab and he says, tell me something, a wird wazaif, that I want to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dreams. And he goes, okay, so he says, before I tell you, let's have a meal together. So they all sat down, they had a meal, and he made a biryani. You know, you have a lot of masala in the biryani. And you know, naturally, if you eat biryani, you feel thirsty. So he had that and he goes, when we wake up in the morning, we'll sit down and we'll discuss it later. So he goes, fine. So the murid and the peer sahab, they both go to sleep. And during that night, he said to the murid, if you do feel thirsty, don't drink water, whatever happens. and I'll talk to you after Fajr Salah. So what happened was, the murid, he went to sleep, and all night, what did he see? He saw waterfalls, rivers, oceans. Why? Because he was so thirsty, he saw the water in his dream. He woke up in the morning, saw with his peer sahab, and he goes, Hazrat, Sheikh sahab says, what did you see at night? He goes, I could only see water. He goes, you know why you saw water? Because you had that thirst that you wanted to drink water. When you have the thirst to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll see him in your dream.
Habsab is, the kalam of Allah azza wa jal, salah. All of these things, the zikr of Allah azza wa jal, through the park, they all have light, ruhaniyat in them. The problem is, you've got two people. You've got, say for example, me and Hafiz Sahib are praying here and we're praying together. Light, nur is coming in. Because we're both praying in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. The problem is that I haven't closed the doors that let that leak out. The doors of sins. Hafiz Sahib has done his tazkiyah, he's looked at his mind and he's tried to stop it. I've left it open. So no matter how much water comes into a container, Hafiz Sahib's drinking his tea, if there were holes at the bottom, no matter how much tea you put in the top, it's not going to last. Mm-hmm. Now the problem is with the heart, unless you close these doors, nothing's going to happen. The heart gets blackened. There's that famous hadith in Mubarak where Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the heart becomes dark and black. And every time you commit a sin, there is a black mark on the heart, and then gradually the whole heart becomes black. Now, those people might be reading namaz. The problem is they haven't closed the doors to sin. So if you read namaz, say there's two of us, and one of them gets up, protects his tongue, protects his eyes, protects his ears, protects his hands, his feet, his stomach from haram, then the light, the ruhaniyat that came in stays there. And gradually it builds up. And the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla cleanses his heart. The problem is that when you get up from the prayer mat, if you start to do backbiting, lying, cheating, deceiving, and look at the wrong thing. A lot of brothers say, I read salah but I don't get ruhaniyat. One of the greatest sins and gravest sins which takes away the ruhaniyat of the heart is your nazar, you're looking at the wrong thing. Now because of these devices, sometimes people go onto these social media sites and you cannot control what you see. You come across all sorts of filth and your eyes see it, and yes, you rebuke yourself afterwards, but this is wrong. When the weather's nice, I'm not going to kind of hold back, because this is a disease that we have to fight. That way, Islamic doesn't hold back when it comes to diseases of the mind and the heart and the soul and the body. When they're outside, the weather's nice, you know that they're going to be semi-naked women. You've got to leave your home with the mindset that I'm going to keep my eyes under my control. I'm not going to look at the wrong thing. Then you will watch the ruhaniyat, the spirituality increase. What you're asking for is the nur of Allah Azza wa Jal, but you want to use your eyes to look at filth. It doesn't work.
Subhanallah.
When they mentioned about, Harumbe mentioned that, ruhaniyat is to do with the heart as well. There's a book that Madri Markaz has printed. It's called The 76 Major Sins. Now the thing is, if our heart is full of sins, how are you going to do a ruhaniyat? And once Amir al-Sunnah, someone asked him a question on the Madri Muzakara, that how can we protect our eyes in the Western world? In a place where, like Harun Bhai mentioned, there's filth all around us. And Amir al-Sunnah, he says that you jump into the fire and then you say, how can I save myself from the fire? But there are ways. You need to try to. First thing is, as they say, you need to control your eyes. That's the main thing. A lot of people complaining, ye ruhaniyat nahi aayi rahi, we're making dua, it's not being accepted. Let's look at ourselves, what is in our heart.
Just to explain the genius of Ala Hazrat in that, what happens is, the scholars write, that the first thing that goes astray is your eyes.
Okay.
Then that whatever you look at sends the heart astray. And then the other parts of the body go on the wrong path.
I think in terms of some practical points as well, you get kind of a few stages where you feel a lack of spirituality. One of them is, for example, just during the day, that's a feeling of spirituality, that feeling of God consciousness is not there. One of the things that's recommended, Amir Ahl Sunnah recommend this as well, is that if you're feeling a bit lazy, a bit sus, one of the best things you can do is make ablution.
Make wuzu,
and that will, in it, the physical act of wuzu, putting water on your face, your arms, your body parts, it freshens you up as well. But from a spiritual point of view as well, wudu ablution brings with it many, many benefits. You know, for example, a person before he starts ablution, he recites Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Bismillahir Alhamdulillah. Then Allah Ta'ala purifies not only those body parts that he washes, but his entire body. So that's just one small tip. And it's little things like this that can often be the difference between you picking up the Quran or watching the TV. Make ablution, freshen yourself, and inshallah you'll bring an element of spiritual.
Because ruhaniyat opens up doors.
Subhanallah.
You know, what we don't realize is that there are amazing gardens in this, you know, orchard of ruhaniyat, this world of ruhaniyat. It's a different dimension. It's a dimension, Hafizah, which is amazing. But once you taste the fruit of this dimension, then honestly your life changes.
Subhanallah.
Like, and unfortunately, we spend our life in the materialistic world. There's a famous hadith of Barakah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hazrat Jibreel Amin came and asked about ihsan and
Iman.
Iman. The meaning of ihsan, to worship Allah Azza wa Jal in such a way as if you are seeing Him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if not, worship Allah Azza wa Jal in such a way that you actually see Him. But if you can't get to this level, if you think that you are not seeing Him, then think that He is seeing you. Now, that is something that we need to put in our mind. When you're studying Salah, when you're doing something, and you know what the scholars write? I'm reading from Hazrat Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi Ahiyya Al-Ulum there. But what the scholars write is this, and this is going to be a bitter pill to swallow for some of us, but we need to actually think about it very carefully. We actually don't understand who our Lord is. We have been told Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator. We've not learnt anything about Allah Azza wa Jal. We don't know anything. We don't know the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal in its true sense of what it is. And our lack of knowledge and our ignorance is like that child who sticks his hand in the fire because he doesn't know. There was a man who came to the great Shaykh, Hazrat Bayezid Bistami rahmatullah. He came to him and he said, Hazrat, I can't get rid of sins. So the great Shaykh said, go to the top of that mountain and see what's there and then come back. So he climbs this mountain, he gets to the top, and there's a massive serpent there, anaconda type snake, huge. So he gets to the top and he sees,
you know, the way you're explaining it must be huge.
It was a huge, the rawis say that there's this huge anaconda type snake, and it was there, and it went for him. And he ran here, he ran there, he ran down, he rolled down the mountain. Eventually he got to the bottom, and you know, in a dire state, covered in dust, he came to the court of the great Sheikh and he said, Hazrat, what have you done? You sent me there. And he said, there was this massive snake. Jaan bacha ke bach ke wapas aaya. The great Sheikh said, beta, ye batao, ki when you were there and that snake was chasing you, did you think about committing sins? He said, no, I didn't. He said, why?
Allahu,
he says, at that time I was just worried about my life. I didn't think about sin.
Subhanallah.
The problem we have is this. Once you recognize your Creator, how Rahman al-Rahim He is, the most compassionate, the most merciful, but also Qahar, how He is, you know, takes you to task for your sins, how He's going to punish you. The halqa, the lightest azab in Jahannam, is that you will be made to wear slippers of fire,
Allah,
and your brain will boil because of them.
Something beautiful you mentioned, Arunbay, was, you know, sometimes people ask, how can we get spirituality? If you look at it, why did Sayyidina Ghawse Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu spend 25 years in the jungle? Why did Khaja Muinuddin radiallahu ta'ala anhu leave Arab Sharif and come to India? Why did Hazrat Data Huzur rahmatullahi ta'ala leave Afghanistan to come to Lahore? You know, and you look at all these great awliya-i kiram. You know, Bayezid Bistami radiallahu ta'ala anhu left for 7-8 years, he stayed in the jungles. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa wanted to leave everything and go into the jungles. Why were these all Buzurgan-e-Din? They wanted to find spirituality.
Sorry, Waseem, but I've just thought of a shir which fits your question perfectly. So that's why I was interrupted, Waseem Bhai. There was, you know, a Bulle Shah, beautiful shir. What we do is I analyse you, I analyse Waseem Bhai, I analyse the, you know, Shoaib Bhai and everybody else, yeah? It's a habit we've got. Looking at, I never analyse myself. You know, and what the Buzurg say is that Bulle Shah Asmani Uddeyan Pardai. You know, you haven't studied yourself. What these Buzurg rahmatullah alayh did was they spent that time studying themselves, finding Allah Azza wa Jal within their heart, and then they went out to preach the world. And that's why Hazrat Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullah alayhi, wherever he went then, the light was shining bright. Hazrat Datta Sahib, wherever he went, the light shone so far that even to this day, centuries later, you know, you go to Datta Sahib and you feel the light, because that's how amazing it was. Sorry, Wasim, but I just...
No, it's absolutely
fit
fine.
Perfectly there.
MashaAllah. And also, really, you were talking about these Buzurgan-e-Deen, these great heroes, the lights of Islam who traveled so many miles in order to gain spirituality. You know, if you were to bring that down to modern day reality, you know, the reality that faces myself, yourself, the people who are watching at home as well, you know, it's not perhaps realistic for us to up sticks and go into a jungle for 40 years, but we can do simple things, in my advice, that can increase our level of spirituality. One is that when we read our namaz, and at the moment, especially here in the UK, the mosques are closed, we can't go to the masjid for namaz, we read our namaz at home. But what we can do is read namaz with some preparation. You know, not number one, leave it to the last minute. Read namaz on its time. Perform good ablution. And then, you know, designate a place in the home to read namaz. Often, you know, we're reading in namaz and there's distractions happening all around us. And when there's those kind of distractions, it's going to be hard to maintain concentration. And the other thing as well, I think, is, you know, dress appropriately for namaz. You know, if you were to go somewhere, and you know, the scholars, they say that when you're going for namaz, consider yourself that you're presenting yourself in the court of Allah. Now, we mentioned this, I think you were there as well, the Mashwara a few weeks ago, we're speaking to the Zimadars of Dawat Islami. Even though we're not going outside to read namaz, we're reading namaz at home, we should wear our Imamah Sharif when we read our namaz. You know, and it's simple things like that. The physical, psychologically, when you are preparing yourself in terms of the clothes you wear, the imamah you wear, making good ablution for namaz, ihtimam ke saath, in a good place, quiet place, that in itself will improve your level of
concentration. You know, Huzur Ghaus-e Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to have a very beautiful jubbah, and it was so expensive and so beautiful. Whenever he would offer his salah, he would wear that jubbah on his salah.
And then,
why?
You know,
because he was presenting himself.
Make wuzu and arrive in masjid early. Read our sunan in the masjid.
Allah.
And then wait for the imam. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, that a person waiting for jamaat is as if he's in jamaat. You get the reward for being in jamaat. So you know, these little things, Afisab, they might seem very, very small. Bring
they
them together.
Down there,
they make
What Wasim Bhai was saying very beautifully is, look, you want to make it practical. And you know, Abu Buzurganideen, I was reading that, you know, when they sat down to do wuzu, you know, when we sit down, we just quickly make sure chalo di farz kabar again. They used to take 10 to 12 minutes to do wuzu, because they used to think the sins of my hands. They used to think about the sins of the hands. They used to think, what sins have I committed with my eyes? And then they used to tremble in the fear that I'm going to stand before my Creator. And so their wuzu, our namaz doesn't last that long, and just their wuzu and the ruhaniyat that brought, and then they came into the masjid and they read two nafil tahiyyatul wuzu, then tahiyyatul masjid, then they sat down and cleared their mind, and then they stood for their salah. You know, we come, we're in thoughts of the world, and then we come straight in. And you mentioned Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa says that the great Imam, he used to have a beautiful Imamah Sharif.
MashaAllah.
And the great Sheikh rahmatullah used to keep that Imamah Sharif, put it on in a closed room, and it was worth a lot of money. But he used to wear it, and he used to dress up in his room just to pray Salah.
In terms of effort, just to kind of summarize that point as well, you know, often if we're reading namaz, the wording we use is perform. We're performing Salah. And I think if we try to move from namaz being a performance, i.e. going through the physical motions, going through the recitation, whatever we know off by heart, if we try to move from a performance to an experience, which is what you're alluding to in these beautiful explanations you're giving. These great personalities, namaz wasn't a performance for them, doing something for the sake of it. They experienced namaz. Namaz left
I want to add this in before we go to Shuaib, mashallah. Hazrat Sayyidina Khatim Asam rahmatullahi ta'ala, someone saw him once, he was offering his salah and he was crying. And he goes, Huzur, why were you crying in your salah? And he goes, whenever I stand up for my salah, I always think that death is behind me now, it's chasing me. And I always think that my grave is right in front of me. I am standing on top of the fire of hell. Paradise is right in front of me. And he had this, you know, kind of thought when he was offering his salah. And he goes, the thought of all these things would make me cry. And we know when we offer our salah, let's be realistic to ourselves, that when we offer our salah today, how are our feeling? You know, we think about our business. That's why they say, mazak banti hai na ki main apni zakana karobar na sab karna namaz hai. Yeah, I go and offer my salah because I've got Allah. And someone asked him, how many rakats did you read, two or three? And he goes, I'm sure the Imam sahab has got one rakat left because I've got one shop left. Yeah, so I haven't done the hisab for that. So even though it might be a joke, yeah, but this is sadly the reality.
One fantastic way of trying to keep your thoughts in namaz is learn the translation of namaz. At the minimum, Surah Fatiha. Learn the translation. It's a beautiful dua in itself. When you know the meaning of what you're reading, what you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah every Allah time Allah. When you say Allahu Akbar and read your namaz, subhanallah. Inshallah, this in itself will improve your concentration.
Allah.
Subhanallah, mashallah.
देखो देखिए
beautiful. Ji Harun bhai, back to our topic.
Back to the topic. I want to come back to an excellent point that Waseem bhai made before we went for the Nath-e Pak. If you listen to this, it will really bring out the point. All praise is to Allah Azza wa Jal, the Lord of creation, the most gracious, the most merciful. This is a translation from Kunzul Iman, owner of the day of recompense. You alone we worship and you alone we seek help from. Guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have favoured, not the path of those who earned your anger, nor those who went astray. Then, glory be to my Lord the Exalted. And then, glory be to my Lord the Most High. Now that was just a glimpse of the translation of namaz. Now just imagine if you stood in namaz and that is going through your mind. Automatically the ruhaniyat will come. Automatically. The problem is, we spend all our lives learning all sorts of things. How long would it take us to learn the translation of namaz? A day? 2 days? why don't we get the namaz kitabs out? Go onto the internet, you've got Kunzul Iman, you've got everything there. Yes. Go onto DawatIslami.net, you've got everything you need. Laws of Salah, actually the book has the full namaz with the translation in it. Download it for free from DawatIslami.net and it will give you a very good insight. The other thing I was going to say, Afsab, is you very beautifully but very briefly summarized what the waqia of Hazrat Hatim rahmatullahi alayhi. But I have the more detailed version in front of me. And the reason I wanted to share it, I thought about it because I thought he's mentioned it, I'll carry it. But then I thought, no, people will benefit from this.
MashaAllah.
Somebody asked him that, do you offer your salah properly? And he replied, yes. And I said, tell me how you do it. And he said, when the time for salah comes, I step onto the prayer mat and stand in such a manner that each joint of my body adjusts into place. I then imagine the Holy Kaaba is between both of my eyebrows and Maqam-e Ibrahim is in front of my chest. Then having this belief in my heart that Allah Azza wa Jal is aware of my apparent of open condition and all my hidden thoughts and everything in my heart, I stand in a way as if my feet are on the bridge of Sirat. And paradise is to my right, hell is to my left, and Malkul Maut is behind me, and I feel as if this salah is the last salah of my life. I recite the Takbir Tahrima with extreme sincerity. I recite the Holy Quran with extreme concentration and contemplation. I then perform ruku and sujood with humbleness, begging Allah Azza wa Jal, beseeching Allah Azza wa Jal. In this way, I complete my namaz with humility and presence of heart. The person asked Abu Sabi, he said, oh Hatim, do you really offer your salah in this way every time?
Allah.
And he, rahmatullah alayhi, replied, yes, I have been offering my salah in this way for the last 30 years.
Allah. You know, Hazrat Sayyidina Hatim Asam, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, you know, he was at that, you know, level that is one day someone asked him that, please could you come to my house for invitation for a da'wah. So Sayyidina Hatim Asam rahmatullahi alayhi, and remember the awliya Allah, they don't waste any of their time. And he says that, look, I'm sorry I can't come to your house. And when he you know, asked him a few times, so he says that, okay, but I've got three conditions. Number one, whatever I want to eat, I will eat, you will not say to me. Wherever I wish to sit, I will sit there, you will not say anything to me. And then whatever I say, you will humbly act upon that as well. And he says that, Theek Hazrat, I'll do it. You know, for normal worldly person, when we invite our peer sahab or any other spiritual person to our house, Banda yaar chalo namaz roze nahi aasan, we'll say yes, yes, yes. So he saw the same as well. So Sayyidina Khatim Asam rahmatullahi ta'ala, this great wali, went to his house where people took off their shoes, he sat there. Now this is, again, we're talking about the highest level of spirituality of a person.
Humility
as well. Because spirituality, you need humility for that as well. So he sat on the shoes, and the person, he came running as he goes, Hazrat, why you sat on the shoes for? Come inside. You know, there's sofas, all these are for you. And he goes, my first condition was, wherever I sit, you will not say anything. So he couldn't say anything. So when they started to eat the food, he had loads of dishes made. Now he doesn't know what he likes, so he made a lot of dishes. So Khatim Asam rahmatullah alayhi, he digged into his pocket and he got a very dried piece of roti, bread, and he started to eat that. And the person again, he says, Ya Sayyidi, all this food is for you. Why are you eating that dried piece of bread? And he goes, my second condition was, whatever I want to eat, you will not say anything. And the third condition, he says, go and get some firewood and light fire to that and put a tawa, you know, on top of that fire and then light the fire. And when the tawa was really red hot, Hatim Asam rahmatullah alayhi, barefooted, stood on top of that tawa.
Allah.
And he said to the people that, today I have just eaten one dried piece of bread, and he came off. And he goes, now all of you, one by one, I want you to stand on the same tawa and I want you to tell me what you have eaten. You know, people started screaming and crying, you're a wali Allah. You know, this is another whisper of the shaitan. Whenever we talk about these kind of things, you know, oh, they were wali Allahs. You know, they were wali Allahs. No doubt they were wali Allahs. And people said the same. And Khatim Asam rahmatullahi ta'ala, then he said to the people that, today you're saying to me that I am a wali Allah and I can stand on this tawa barefooted. On the day of judgment, when the world will be made out of copper, when the sun will be a mile and away from your head, which miracle will you possess on that day? And you will have to answer for everything. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذِنَ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ.
Allah.
And then he left. people were there crying, screaming. You know, Hatim Asam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali is the name of a person who did Tawbah and he became one of the greatest walis of his time. You know, the thing is, we'll never be like them. But in reality is that, can we not learn from them? We say we want to, you know, like you mentioned about the way he would offer his salah. Let's look at our salah. You know, we should,
there's a brilliant point that Swasimbai made, and it really gives you an acid test, Hafizah. You know, when we go to the mosque, jubba, Imam Ashrif, chadar, badge, khushbu, look the part. Comb the beard.
Gee.
You're praying salah, yeah? When you're praying at home, ask yourself why t-shirt, no tuppi, three quarters, and chalega. Why? If you're doing it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, then it should be exactly the same. You know, there was a bazurg, rahmatullah alayhi, and they did the Jummah khutbah. They did the bayan, and a person came and he said, Hazrat, after the Jummah, he said, Hazrat, every week I travel a long way to come and listen to your bayan. This week I got delayed. I got here for Jummah, alhamdulillah, but I'm really upset I missed your bayan. And the bazurg, rahmatullah, said, no problem, sit down. They repeated the bayan again.
Allahu Akbar.
They repeated the whole bayan. And the murid said, Hazrat, you've repeated the whole bayan for that one person. They said, no. I did the bayan I did, for whoever I did the first time, I repeated it for the same hasti again. The first time I did it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Subhanallah.
When he came, I repeated it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. It doesn't matter to me whether there's 1,000 people or one person. I'm doing it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. We need to ask ourselves, when we're praying in the masjid, what's different? You stood in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yeah, I'm not saying don't dress up when you go to the masjid. The point I'm making is the reverse. That when you're in your own home, make the ihtimam for namaz. If you want the spirituality, then dress up, put your jubba on, put your imam ashrif on, put the khushbu on, perform your wuzu properly before you start anything.
You know, Harun, it's a very beautiful thing. You go
first. Ihtimam for namaz as well. This is the importance we give it. You know, if our aim, our target is that I don't want to just read namaz and perform it as a ticket off the Abdul Zohar namaz now. But if we want to do it properly, if our target is, for example, that every namaz, I need to join namaz with Takbir-e-Ula.
MashaAllah.
You know, Takbir-e-Ula ka ihtimam, that's in our mindset. If we miss Takbir-e-Ula, the fallback is Jamaaton mein milegi.
SubhanAllah.
If our intention is for Jamaat, if that's our target, we miss Jamaat, at least we'll get our namaz.
Jee.
If our starting point and target is only namaz,
Jee.
Then if we miss that target, where do we end up?
Allah.
Without namaz at all. This is why, you know, the scholars, the Sufiya especially, they advise, don't just do the bare basics.
Mm.
Because, you know, the bare bones, we're insan. Yeah, we're fallible, we make mistakes. And that if you've just got the basics, then when the mistakes come and when the gaps come, the gaps will come in your basics for
us. You know, Wasim, you mentioned a beautiful thing there, that just don't do the basics. You know, today, that's what people are doing. If I ask, you know, anyone, including myself, how many rakat are there for Isha? They're not 17. Who reads the Nafal nowadays? Damn, you're going, Nafal baad jila parsa. You never get that time. Maghrib is not 7 anymore. Maghrib is 3 and 2, that's it. And that, then we say, why is it that we don't get no spirituality? I just want to mention this here.
Just on that point quickly.
Are you going to say something?
A teacher, he once said, we were studying a book with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know the importance of Nawafil. He illustrated it with an example. He said, you have a fortress of your ibadat. And your most prized possession is in the middle. That's your faraid. And he says, you know, all the optional things you do above that, your sunan, are building a wall around your faraid.
What's sunan?
Acting upon the sunnah. Your sunan is plural for sunnah. And then the wider wall beyond that is your nawafil.
SubhanAllah.
And he says that when the shaitan is attacking, the more walls you build, the harder it is for him to attack your core base, which is your faraid.
You know, if you look at it, this thought came into my mind, everyone nowadays, what we're trying to do, build a strong immune system, aren't we? So that the disease doesn't get into our lungs. So this is what exactly, if you think like that, if you build yourself, and then we say to ourselves, why is my namaz, why is it that I'm committing sins? Allah Ta'ala clearly mentions in the Quran, Inna salata tanha anil fakhshai wal munkar. No doubt, salah keeps you away from indecency and bad. So we read our namaz, we offer our salah, we still commit the sins. The problem is not that, ma'azallah, namaz is not keeping you away. It's your salah that you are offering. You're not offering it properly.
Yeah, I want to come back to a point you made, Hafsa, which really gets to a disease in our heart. You said that today we take shortcuts in salah. Why is it that we take shortcuts when it comes to the matters of deen, but not dunya.
Ji.
You know, when it's time to eat, we think, well, we've got to eat. We don't take a shortcut there. When it's time to enjoy, we don't take a shortcut there. Everything deserves its full time. But whenever we need to save some time, why is it that we fall into this trap of the shaitan that it's got to come from the deen? So if I'm running late, I won't cut down anything else. But if I'm reading half a para a day, I'll say I'll read a quarter today. Why? Mm-hmm. That's the waswasa of the shaitan. This is a disease that we have. There was a bzurg, rahmatullahi alayhi, and they walked into a shop. And they were talking to the shopkeeper, and the azan was called. And they said, come on, beta, let's go read namaz. So he said, Hazrat Abchale, I'm coming, you know. So anyway, the Bazaar Rahmatullah Alayhi went and prayed, they came back, and guess what, the guy's still there. And he's, you know, so beta, you didn't come for namaz. Hazrat, I'm very sorry, bad customers, that, you know, ab rozi kamani padti hai and all that. So the Bazaar Rahmatullah Alayhi said, can I come into your shop? He said, yeah, aap aajein, barkatein, you know, you bring blessings. And he started to say, Hazrat, what are you smelling for? He said, I'm thinking, when you need to go to the bathroom, what do you do? He goes, Hazrat, majburi, yeah. You know, when I need to go to the bathroom, down comes the shutter and I go to the bathroom. How many times a day? A few times a day. He goes, Bita, what do you do for food during the day? He said, Hazrat, pet mein kuch nahi, if I don't have anything in my stomach, how am I going to run the business? So I close the shutter, quickly run home and eat and come back. So he goes, you can close the shutter for your food. You can close the shutter to go to the toilet. You'll probably be able to close the shutter if your child is ill. But the only thing you can't close the shutter for is the namaz and the call to the house of Allah.
Allah,
that's
Allah,
the reality of it.
Tajweed, makharij are important.
MashaAllah, very good,
you know,
point.
For example, if I offer my salah, I'm that type of a person that I've left my business. I've struggled really to get to the masjid. And now I say, Allah, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And it's not accepted because I've changed the meaning of the word. And because of the word being changed, the salah will not be accepted. So therefore, the problem is that the salah will not be accepted.
It's a very good point. You said Alhamdulillah. Now, to clarify to the viewers of Madni Channel, because they might be thinking, what's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, in Arabic, each letter is pronounced from an origin. And if you pronounce the wrong word, so when it's Alhamdulillah, you pronounce it so that the ha, with the middle of the throat, is waziah. Now, that means all praise be to Allah Azza wa Jalla. But if you pronounce it with the what we call do'a, the other ha, it means fire towards Allah. That's what it translates to. Why? Because you've got the pronunciation wrong. And that is another beautiful point that you make, Abu Sab, that if you are ruhaniyat, but you can't even read it properly, how are you going to get spirituality in your namaz, and how are you going to get concentration?
Harun bhai, come off it. The nawe maulvi aaye, nawe masle bayan kar, asa kada nahi hai bayan sune. We've never heard these kind of things before. You're just telling us now. Pehli namaz sari nahi aayi.
What's your name?
Muhammad Rafaqat Attari.
Muhammad Rifaqat?
Rafaqat.
Rifaqat.
Na besti na karo, Rafaqat.
No, what's wrong? Your name is important, I have to get it right, but the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla in His attributes aren't important.
Beautiful answer, mashallah. Allah Ta'ala Sim Barakat.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Dawat Islami helps there. Dawat Islami just doesn't identify the problem. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, it provides the solution as well. So all over the country, there are balighat classes, these are adult classes. A lot of these classes have gone online. So these classes, find out from your local area if there are online classes. If there aren't at the moment, inshallah they will restart again. Then you can go online, have a sub, you can do a course and learn your tajweed. And ziyada, it will take you a month or two months yes. maximum, yes. And then you will be able to pronounce the words correctly.
Inshallah.
So do not give up. Go on to dawatislami.net, you will find the courses there, you will find the applications there. Try and contact the local brothers, but don't leave it because it's the most important thing you'll do. What mashallah, Shoaib bhai said that I recorded a small guldasta a few weeks ago as well. But basically, it's all about motivating yourself. Look, if you get up in the morning and you're in the same sort of routine, and life will get you down. If you get up in the morning and you just walk around in the same clothes, you're going to feel down. If you get up in the morning and have a nice shower, ghusl karo, you know, put some tail on, look the part, you'll feel the part as well.
Hadith-e-Paak, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the son of Adam does not fill any vessel worse than his stomach.
Allahu Akbar.
Yani ke overeating, overindulging in food, and in particularly the wrong type of food, will completely blow away your spirituality. Amir Ahl Sunnah so many times, repeatedly has talked about what he calls Bait Ka Kufle Medina, or eating less, less than your hunger, and the benefits of this as well. Imam Ghazali alayhi rahmah, he says that the person who can build this skill within him to lift his hand from the food while he's still hungry.
Subhanallah.
Which is, I call it a skill because it's very, very hard.
Very hard.
It is incredibly difficult.
Indeed.
You know, there's people with huge repertoire skills in other things which will struggle on this one. If you manage to be able, if you're able to lift your hand from food while you're still hungry, Imam Ghazali alayhi rahma, who is such a great philosopher, Hujjatul Islam, the proof of Islam, he says that person will very rarely need a doctor in his life.
You know, when you get to a level, Harun bhai, when you get to that spiritual level, there's an incident where a buzurg rahmatullah alayhi goes to see his friend, and he knocks on the door, and you know, his wife answers, and she says, "Who is it?" And he says that, "It's me, I've come to see my friend." And she goes, "Oh, he's gone to the jungle. You know, oh, Allah, Allah karan gaya, you go and join him as well. You don't have anything else to do." He goes, "Now that was a bit odd, you know." So he thought, there must be somewhere wrong at home. So he goes to the towards the jungle, and he sees his friend walking towards him, and he's walking, and a lion is there carrying stacks of wood. And he goes, "What's this?" So he meets his friend, and he says, "You know, how did you get this lion in control?" He goes, "You must have gone to my house." And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "What did you hear?" And he goes, "Different story, brother. You know, is everything okay?" And he goes, "The day I learned to do sabr with my wife, you know, what you've heard as her speech, Allah Ta'ala has given me this lion." So that's the tawakkul. Again, spirituality, start from home as well, you know.
And the most simplest of things I've said, you know, sometimes when you watch Madani Muzakara, Amir Ahl Sunnah, he's not discussing the most complex, very, very simple, basic things. He's talking about two main points, you could say, eating less and talking less.
He even said, you know, there's a competition as well now, that Islamic brothers who eat one roti will come to half, send me, and I think,
but
you know, at this moment, Islamic sisters are beating us.
But you know, the point is, why? You know, has he got some sort of, you know, deal with the flour makers or the roti makers? You know, what is the whole purpose behind this? Why so much emphasis on eating less? It's because of the impact it has on your spirituality.
You know, they say that, you know, the thoughts that come into your salah come from your stomach. If your stomach is full, you'll have more thoughts. If your stomach is empty, Harun bhai, you want to say something.
You know, when somebody is going for food and then withdrawing your hand, Imam Ghazali the Great says that's one of the hardest things you can do. But why? The one who can stop himself from picking up that extra food can then develop the power to stop himself from gunah, from sins.
Beautiful
and
point.
That's
Mashallah.
The essence of it. Now, it starts from the heart, Havasab. If you want the ruhaniyat, it's very, very simple. You are not going to get it in a dirty glass which is full of kina, buzz, you know, hatred, envy, diseases of the heart. You have to read upon these. Read the great books of Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh. Read the books on dawatislami.net. They help you clear your heart. The starting point, not the end point. This is the irony. The starting point is you've got to start with a clean heart. And then you are on the at the footstep of the ladder of ruhaniyat. You know, that great couplet, Khudiko karbulanditna ke har tadbeer se pehle khuda khud bande se puche bata teri raza kya hai. What that implies is this, that before you do anything, you know, your heart, your inner self, cleanse that to such an extent that it is ready to take the glory of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the light, the nur of Allah Azza wa Jalla, His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then you will shine. You know, under gand pade, you're not going to get ruhaniyat.
Yes, but mashallah, beautiful point, Arun bhai. We'll go to Wasim bhai. Last Madani pearl from yourself regarding our topic today. You've got 1 minute.
Subhanallah. I think small changes. Say baby steps, and inshallah we learn how to crawl, we learn how to walk, then we learn how to run. Remember, these things to increase spirituality is going to take time.
Yes.
You can't think to yourself, okay, I've learned the meaning of Surah Fatiha, every single time I read namaz now, my concentration will be there. No, every single time before you start namaz, you need to have the conversation with yourself. Focus, put phone on silent, put it away, get yourself into a quiet place and tell yourself, I need to concentrate during this namaz.
Mashallah.
And inshallah, you'll see the benefits and the blessings of that. You know, there was one buzurg who said that, you know, I tell myself that once I've said Allahu Akbar, that Allah is the greatest, after making that statement, how dare I in my namaz think about anyone else?
Allahu Akbar.
Having said that statement. And I think if you think about these things, inshallah, will.
Mashallah, beautiful, beautiful. Jeeva Hadambi.
Hafsab, I think if we went away with this today, and it applies not only to those brothers who are watching us, but the Islamic brothers who are watching us as well, who do the Madni work of Dawat Islami. Spirituality, as well as the things we've mentioned, like cleaning the heart and everything else, it's a gift from Allah.
Subhanallah, bishop.
people strive for years, Vaseem Bhai, and they may not climb the ladders, but there is a shortcut. There is a beautiful shortcut, and that is a Kamil Piro Murshid.
MashaAllah.
You know, the journey that on your own you can't do, but you have a Kamil, you have a Piro Murshid, a spiritual guide. He can take you through that journey.
Allah.
Now, for everybody who's, you know, out there who isn't bathed with a peer who is, you know, by the proper shara'its that Allah Hazrat has given, then look for the Kamal peer and let him find you. We can't find our peer, the peer finds you. But Amir al-Sunnat, his character and his life is in front of you.
Allah.
For the Islamic brothers that up and down the country are doing the work of Dawat Islami, when they talk about Ruhaniyat, what I'd say to them is this. That the more you strive in the mission of Amir al-Sunnat with Madani work, Madani Namad Card, Madani Kaflas, you know, the Madani work of Dawat Islami, that because you are taking on board the responsibility of a Wali of Allah Azzawajal in the mission of the Deen of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it will give you a shortcut to the levels of Ruhaniyat which maybe you'll never achieve through your Nawafil.
SubhanAllah. JazakAllah. We'll keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib. صلى الله
على
محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.